Bring the Books by Mr. Charles Terpstra. The Reading and Preaching of the Scriptures in the Worship of the Christian Church, Volume 7, Our Own Time, by Hughes Oliphant, Old, Grand Rapids, Erdmans, 2010. Reviewed by Angus Stewart. A work of supererogation. That is how one minister describes reading all 7 volumes of Hughes Oliphant Old's The Reading and Preaching of the Scripture in the Worship of the Christian Church, 1998 through 2010. I couldn't disagree more. Having read every page of all 7 volumes and having eagerly waited for them to come off the press, I can say that I have found Old's History of Preaching to be a delight, not a drudgery. Never mind above the call of duty. It is not an exaggeration to say that Old's magisterial multi-volume work is far and away the best in its area. The author's grasp of and love for his subject, his comprehensive sweep of preaching in various countries and schools, his lively prose and his personal knowledge of some of the ministers all make for fascinating reading. The same engaging style and verve displayed throughout Old's monumental series characterizes his 7th and final volume entitled Our Own Time. 7 of the 12 chapters deal with preaching in the United States. Mainline Liberals, Chapter 1. Arminian Billy Graham, Chapter 2. Presbyterians, Chapter 3. Roman Catholics, Chapter 6. Black Preaching, Chapter 8. Charismatics, Chapter 9. And Megachurch Preachers, Chapter 11. Old's global interest comes out in his treatment of Protestant preaching in Sub-Saharan Africa, Chapter 4, Roman Catholic Liberation Preaching in Latin America, Chapter 5, Eastern Orthodox Preaching in Romania in connection with its 1989 revolution, Chapter 7, as well as preaching in the British Isles, Chapter 10, and East Asia, Chapter 12. Thus Old manages to include South America and Central America, Africa, Europe, the British Isles and Romania, and Asia, as well as North America. Only the continent of Australia goes untreated. As well as requiring reading of a lot of sermons and a judicious selection and arrangement of his material, all this calls for a feel for various countries and the history of their churches, preaching, and preachers on 5 of the world's 6 continents, not including Antarctica. No mean task. So who, besides Billy Graham mentioned earlier, are some of the better-known preachers included in Old's 7th volume? Sinclair B. Ferguson, a Scottish Presbyterian in South Carolina. Archbishop Peter Akinola of Nigeria, a leader of the Southern Anglicans against the liberal, pro-homosexual, white Anglicans of the Western world. Martin Luther King Jr., the African-American civil rights leader. Oral Roberts, the charismatic televangelist. Evangelical John Stott of the Church of England. California megachurch pastor, author, and radio preacher Chuck Swindoll. And Watchman Nee, author of allegorical devotional works. In late 2007, I emailed Hughes Oliphant Old to see if he would be interested in treating Herman Hoeksma in Volume 7. After mentioning that he had heard of Hoeksma and stating that a few years ago I would have been pleased to have received his sermons, Mr. Old very graciously declined my offer to send him Hoeksma's Righteous by Faith Alone and Behold He Cometh, in light of his failing eyesight and his approaching publisher's deadline. One wonders how Hoeksma would have looked among the extremely variegated preachers in Old's final volume, many of whom are heretical. Sadly, in keeping with the rampant apostasy in the church world of our day, Volume 7, aptly entitled Our Own Time, covers what can only be described, in the light of the Reformed confessions, as various false gospels and false gospelers in false churches. Belzer Confession 29 and Westminster Confession 25, verse 4 through 6. As well as Eastern Orthodoxy, Romanism, and Liberation Theology, we receive an unhealthy dose of liberal Protestantism, defending sodomy and the murder of unborn babies, and pleading for the social gospel of big civil government, the nanny state. Riddled as they are with higher criticism of God's word, often enslaved to existentialism and trained in liberal seminaries, it is no wonder that the mainline preachers degenerated into parroting left-wing causes. Left-wing ideology is also preached by some of the black American ministers and the East Asians that Old mentions. Old also throws into the mix Arminians, a woman preacher, and the folly of the charismatics with their healings. Old has an appropriate titled section on Sister Amy Semple McPherson, Preaching as Entertainment. In keeping with her scandals, her mysterious disappearance in 1926, and her disastrous third marriage while her husband was living, and bizarre services of healing and receiving the Holy Spirit, are her flamboyant preaching techniques and aids. Her sermons were enlivened with fire alarms, foghorns, police sirens, skits, bands, and the dramatic use of lighting. In one sermon, a camel from a local zoo was brought into her Los Angeles church. On occasion, Sister Amy made her pulpit entrance on a white motorcycle. As Charlie Chaplin is supposed to have said, she was a superb actress, as good as any Hollywood ever produced. The most chilling part of Old's seventh volume comes in his discussion of John MacArthur's sermons on Christ's exorcising demons. Quote, "I really do not believe in Satan, demonic spirits, and demon possession. Maybe I ought to, but I don't. I am willing to agree that I may have been too strongly influenced by the intellectual world in which I was brought up to fully grasp the full teaching of Scripture, but that is the way it is." Page 556. How awful! Also deeply disturbing is Old's related statement, "I have to admit that the caveats of the Enlightenment still obscure my thoughts from time to time. I suppose I am troubled by the shadow of doubt, but then the same would be true of many in my congregation." Also on page 556. So this is in his church, too. This is the huge flaw in Old's thinking, unbelief in the inerrant, holy scriptures, which goes hand in hand with the dark doubts of the Enlightenment. Think it through. If there is no Satan, then what of the fall in Genesis 3, and the many references to him and his fallen angels throughout the Bible? And what of our Savior's temptation in the wilderness, and the cross as his victory over Satan? If the Lord Jesus wrongly reckoned that he was tempted by the devil those 40 days, and he drove out demons, and that he defeated Satan by his death, can he really be the incarnate Son of God? One can appreciate much in Old's learned and persuasive series. He wants to recover expository preaching. He wants the historic church's theology taught from the pulpit. He wants preaching to be viewed as worship and done to the glory of God. All true and well said, but there is a huge but. The only thing that can truly support all this is God's breathed scripture, so that all of it is profitable for doctrine. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. To equip the man of God, verse 17, who is solemnly charged to preach the word, chapter 4, verse 2. Along with Old's rejection of Scripture's infallibility, John 10, verse 35, and acceptance of higher criticism comes his false charity towards the various false gospels and false churches. There is a logic to all this, not accepting the Bible's teaching on the devil. I really do not believe in Satan. How can Old believe its testimony that the evil one sends forth false teachers, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 through 14, who preach another gospel of another Jesus through another spirit, verses 3 through 4, and so establish and maintain synagogues of Satan, Revelations 2, verse 9, and Revelation 3, verse 9. Not Old, but the Reformed creeds and the Reformed tradition point the way to the faithful reading and preaching of the Scriptures as worship in true Christian churches in our own time and until the Lord Jesus returns. For Old, learned and eloquent as he is, and his magisterial series, with its fascinating description of the preaching of both true and false churches, can take us only so far.